Friends in Christ, the other day I was reading the evaluations from our pilgrimage last month to the Holy Land, and you might know one of the places that we visited was today's gospel, the site of today's gospel, Mount Tabor, where Jesus took his three apostles, Peter, James, and John, up to the top of the mountain, and he was transfigured before them. And along with him appeared Elijah and Moses. And I was reading those evaluations, and it was the typical questions, what did you like, and also what didn't you like, or what were some things that could have improved? And on that question, what could have improved, it was unanimous, and there was only one thing that just about every person wrote, and that is, I would like to have spent more time at the places where we visited to pray. Those pilgrims at the site of the Transfiguration and the other sites we visited experienced the glory of God, the glory of God. And they didn't want to leave. They wanted to spend more time there to bask in that presence. That's exactly what we see happening in today's gospel, where Peter, James, and John are up on the mountain with Jesus. They climb Mount Tabor, which Mark says is a very high mountain. He kind of exaggerates, it's not that high of a mountain. But Peter, James, and John get to the top, and they have this experience of the glory of God. Jesus appears to them, dazzling white, whiter than any fuller's dye could make him. And Peter says, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let's build three tents so we can stay here. They didn't want to leave. Just like our pilgrims. None of our pilgrims said in their evaluation, oh, I wish we could have built some tents there and stayed. But they all wanted to stay longer at the places where we visited. Why? Because they encountered the glory of God. Peter, James, and John encountered the glory of God. They found it so wonderful they didn't want to leave. I'm reminded of a true story that I read not too long ago about a young doctor, an intern, doing his internship in a trauma hospital in Detroit. And at that hospital, many victims of murder, stabbings, come in. And sure enough, he was working at the emergency room one night, and a young man came in who had been stabbed, was bleeding profusely. And he died on the table in the emergency room. And immediately, this young doctor intern jumped up on top of him and started administering CPR. And lo and behold, after a while, the young man on the table started to breathe, was revived, and he came back to life, so to speak. And the first thing that happened was the man on the table, who had just been revived, slugged the doctor. He slugged him and knocked him off the table. And he said, you take me away from that. You take me away from that. He was experiencing a glimpse of heaven. He was experiencing the beauty of heaven. And you've probably read about these experiences, these near-death experiences, where a person dies but then is resuscitated. And in that momentary instance where they have passed away, they're kind of between heaven and earth, and they get a glimpse of heaven. And what happens? They don't want to return to earth. They see the beauty, the glory of heaven. and they want to stay there. Just like Peter, James, and John got that glimpse of heaven. When Jesus was transfigured, it was like a window onto heaven, and they didn't want to leave. But as we know, Jesus says, we have to go down the mountain, and now we have to go through the Passion. And Jesus, of course, wanted to give them that glimpse of heaven so that they could endure the Passion. We call that experience of Peter, James, and John mystical, a mystical experience, a mystical experience. I was talking to a parishioner not too long ago, and I mentioned St. Teresa of Avila, one of the great doctors of the church, and I said she was a mystic. And the person said, "What's a mystic? Define that." And I was at a loss. It's hard to define. I said, "Well, the only way you can know what it is experience it." But I said, you can say some things about it, but the best way to know what it is experience it. A mystical experience is nothing other than being in contact with the divine presence of God, having an experience of being in the presence of God. And that's what happened to Peter, James, and John. They had this mystical experience of being in God's presence, seeing God in His glory, experiencing God in His glory, just like our pilgrims on the pilgrimage, when they visited some of those sites, heaven opened up for them, and they had a mystical experience. Remember when we were at the site of the agony in the garden? And there's a rock there where Jesus himself knelt that night before he died, the night before Good Friday. And he was in his agony, and he knelt at this rock, and we were at that very site, and pilgrims were kneeling there and touching the rock, and I was watching them and seeing that many of them were having a mystical experience. Why? Because in that very ordinary experience of touching that rock, they came in touch, in contact with God, because Jesus himself had been there at that very site, and he touched that very rock. And they touched that rock and experienced the presence of Jesus. But you know what? We don't have to go to the Holy Land to have that experience, because there are four ways that we experience the glory of God. There are four ways that God manifests his glory. And the first is in his incarnation, in the becoming flesh, in the Word becoming flesh, Christmas, when the Word becomes flesh and God becomes one of us, a human being, we experience the humanity of Jesus. And that's a little hard to get in touch with. But the second way is through the suffering of Jesus. And that's what happened to those pilgrims at Gethsemane, when they touched that rock. They experienced the suffering of Jesus and had a mystical experience of coming in contact with the saving cross of Jesus. That's what happens on Good Friday. I love to watch people as they come forward and touch the cross, venerate the cross that is right here, and they touch that cross. And what happens? Many of them have a mystical experience because they're coming in contact with the suffering of Jesus, Jesus who died that we might be free and given new life. That is a mystical experience. We also experience that mystical experience of Jesus in the Eucharist. And that is the most common way that we can experience the glory of God. At every Mass, the bread and wine become the very presence of Jesus. And we can have a mystical experience by opening ourselves up to the glory of God present in the Eucharist. Friends, if people knew that they could have this mystical experience of the glory of God at the Mass, you would come to Mass and you wouldn't be able to find a seat. If people realized what happens on this altar, heaven opens up and we experience the glory of God. If people knew they could experience that glory in our Adoration Chapel, you wouldn't be able to get in there. Every hour would be taken. There would be a waiting line for every hour of the day and night because people would want to experience the glory of God in the Eucharist. The fourth way we experience the glory of God is the resurrection. And that's the one that we have to wait until we die or have that near-death experience like that man in the emergency room. When we die, it's in the resurrection that we experience the glory of God. Have you encountered God's glory? I hope so. I hope so. But if not, pray for that experience. Ask the Holy Spirit this Lent to open you up to the experience of God's glory. And you know what? It takes some effort. It doesn't just happen automatically, and God never forces that experience on us. We have to open ourselves up to the experience of God's glory. That's why we do penance. Very often when you've fasted, and really fasted, you're much more open to experiencing God's glory. Very often when you've given alms, and given alms sacrificially, you're much more open to the glory of God. Our penance opens us up. Just like those three apostles had to do something, they had to do some work to get to the top of that mountain. So also, we have to do some work to open ourselves up to the glory of God, that experience that we can have every time we come to Mass. Let's stand now and continue with our profession of faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Formed by God's holy word, let us now turn to him with our prayers.
For the Holy Catholic Church, may our Lenten disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving help us experience anew God's faithfulness.
Lord, in your mercy,
for peace in our world, may the Holy Spirit imprint on all hearts God's transforming peace and love.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all those preparing to be baptized this Easter, may they receive the strength and grace to come to a deeper knowledge that they truly belong to God.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For our youth on retreat this weekend,
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the repose of the soul of the Reverend Dr. Billy Graham, that he may hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the ill, especially we pray for Mary Halaska, wife of Tom. For the faithfully departed, especially Dee Haber, grandmother of Michelle Story. For Nora Smittle, mother of Patty Billion. And for Bob Lundquist, uncle of Carrie Abraham. And Nancy Turnbull.
Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to experience your glory in the transfigured face of Jesus, your Son. We come before you now with confidence in your love and mercy, and we ask that you hear these and all the prayers of our hearts through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our salvation, our life and resurrection. Through him we are saved and made free. My tongue, the hymn of glory, of the final conflict sing. Shout the triumph of the victim, far and wide the echoes ring. Jesus Christ, the world's salvation, from the cross now reigns as King. We should glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our salvation, our life and resurrection. Saved and made free. Tell how when at length the fullness of the holy time had come, Christ was sent, the world's creator, from the Father's heavenly home, and was found among us dwelling, offspring of the Virgin's womb. We should glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our salvation, our life and resurrection. Through him we are saved and made free.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.